Open your Bible to 2 Peter, chapter number 1. We're reminded, as we read the Word of God, that everything in the Bible is written within a historical context. It's written with a specific purpose. It has a specific message. And 2 Peter is certainly one of those books, a very timely message. It is one of the books written to prepare the people of God for the last days. Of course, we looked at, and we're going to look at 2 Peter and compare 2 Peter with Jude and 2 Timothy, as we find how God is equipping His people to live for Him in the last days. I'm reminded, as I'm thinking of this message, I'm reminded of that great verse in Esther, chapter number 4. Esther, chapter number 4, and verse number 14. As Mordecai says to Esther, concerning the fact that Haman has orchestrated a law, a decree to be established that on such and such a day, all the peoples of the land would be able to kill any Jew that was in the kingdom and confiscate their property. And Mordecai goes to Esther, the queen, who is a Jew, and encourages her to go to the king and appeal to the king for the people of, for the Jewish people, for their lives. And she reminds Mordecai, well, you know, if I go to the king and he has not called me, if he does not raise his scepter to accept me, then I'll be dead. That's the law of the land. And Mordecai speaks to her, verse 14, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shalt their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. God's going to deliver His people somehow. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And who knowest whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? In other words, how do we know that God hasn't put you as the queen right now for this very specific purpose of delivering the people of God, even though in unbelief, to deliver them from destruction of the Jewish people? And so, for such a time as this. You know, throughout life and throughout history, there are particular seasons, particular situations in history, in the plan of God. And you know, God always has people, has a plan, has a means to accomplish His will in whatever time it is. This year we have decided to read for our family devotions This Day in Baptist History. And, you know, I've read This Day in Baptist History just as a devotional book and for fun and a great history book. But we just reading it out loud has really made some of those entries become very real to me. And just last night we read about all these Baptist preachers in England before the Act of Toleration, how all these different preachers, great preachers, great Bible men, great men of character and godliness, and how so many of them were put in jail and died in jail for preaching the gospel, for standing for something. And, And you look at that and you think, you know, God raised up special men in a very difficult time to stand for Him. And it is true that no matter what time it is in history, God has a plan to accomplish His will. And we get a little insight into that in the book of 2 Peter. And we're going to look at that. And first of all, as we look at 2 Peter, I want us to kind of think, first of all, of a salvation that equips the people of God for the last days. A salvation that equips the people of God for the last days. Now look at what it says here in 2 Peter about the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. It says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This is the introduction to the passage of Scripture we studied this morning, but notice what it says. It says, He's given us the divine power. Through His divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now, think about what the Bible is saying about the last days. Can you think of one word that emphasizes, that really speaks of the last days? Well, you know, Jude uses a word that speaks of the last days, which is in direct contrast to this word. Notice it says in Jude 15, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. And so here in a day, the last days are days of ungodliness, the opposite of godliness. This morning we talked about one of the characteristics of godliness is forgiveness. And yet today we are living in an age of bitterness. We are living in an age in which somebody else is to blame for all my problems. We live in an age in which the emo crowd is bitter, and they're blaming everybody, and they are resentful, and they are revengeful, and they use all these things as an excuse to live the way they live. We live in an ungodly day. Hollywood is ungodly. They're ungodly. You know, it isn't innocent entertainment in Hollywood. It's purposeful defilement of people's minds and destruction of families. I wish people would understand that this isn't just family entertainment in Hollywood. They have a purpose, and people are taking it in. We live in days of ungodliness. We live in the days of lust. And of course, that word is emphasized in Jude. It's a word that's emphasized in 2 Peter over and over. It says in 2 Peter 2:18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. And so we have this contrast. It says we have a salvation that through it, according as His divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have a salvation that equips us to live ungodly. In an ungodly world. In an ungodly day. He's given us that salvation. He's pointing that out. Notice it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great precious promises, that these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have this salvation that delivers us from this world, this age of corruption and decay and ruination through the lust of the world. You know, I guess what I'm trying to do is give a picture here. Okay? We have a picture painted in these Gospels, you know, that the Christian is not some person, you know, treading water, you know, just barely trying to stay alive in this wicked world. That's not the picture, is it? It's a picture that here's this ungodly world, here's this world of lust, here's this world of corruption, and here standing like a bright light in contrast to it is the Christian. We have a salvation that's all about life and godliness. That's the salvation we have. We're not supposed to be, evaporated or, amalgamated into this world. No, we're supposed to stand out in this world. For the glory of God. Isn't that what it says? It says right there. It says, they've called us to glory and to virtue. There's the picture. The bright light in a dark world. You know, instead of Christians and Christianity becoming more and more like the world and being amalgamated into this wicked world and living like the world so people can't see a difference. Instead, the Bible says, hey, he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What a great contrast. Turn with me 2 Peter. We see that same kind of contrast in 2 Peter. Chapter 1. Now here's Apostle Paul in jail. He's in jail. Nero has the emperor of Rome has manipulated the situation of the burning of Rome, which he did. And he said the Christians did it. And the great Apostle Paul is the scapegoat. Apostle Paul gets to Rome. He stands before Nero. And at the first hearing, he says, no one stood with me. All have departed and forsaken me. The great Apostle Paul. Nobody wants to be associated with him because they're afraid that their head's going to be cut off too. And, of course, it's the picture of the persecution of the last days. That's what the picture is. The persecution of the last days. And in this book, in 2 Timothy 3:10, what does it say? All that live godly, I don't have the right verse. Verse 12, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Yep. That's right. Persecution. So what are the Christians supposed to do? Hide? Start living like the world? Stop preaching? Stop witnessing. Be a silent Christian. No? What does he say? He says, verse 7, Verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Just don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the afflictions of the gospel. Stand out for Jesus Christ. Yeah, there's afflictions with the gospel. You know what the world wants? What the devil wants? He wants to quiet the Christians. That's what he wants. And what does the Lord say? What does the Scripture say on us? In these days, that's not the answer. He has given us a salvation that contains within it what? The spirit of power. Spirit of love. The spirit of a sound mind. And you know, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about reasoning right here. The sound mind. Instead of being quiet, instead of being amalgamated into the world, instead of being silenced in these last days, God has a plan for the people of God to stand up. And guess what? That's exactly what the Scripture says. You know, in the tribulation, 144,000, you know what? They're going to go to every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and they're going to spread the gospel. That's the example. That's a picture of what we're supposed to be doing in these last days. Not hiding under a bushel. So, he says, we have a special salvation that equips us for the last days. Isn't that great? We have a special salvation. I mean, it's the same salvation everybody had. But he's emphasizing different aspects of the salvation. Back in 2 Peter, notice what it says. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Wow. He has given us exceeding great and precious promises. You know, the Bible says, in Christ Jesus, all the promises of God are yea, yea. It's in Him. We can claim the great promises of God. And so, we have a special salvation. Now turn with me to Jude. Now, this isn't any different than anybody else, but it's still emphasizing some great things. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. Oh, I like that. Sanctified by God the Father. What does that mean? It means you have been taken out of the world, and you've been set apart from the world as a special people of God to do His will. Wow. In other words, just like we're trying to give the idea, hey, I've chosen you. I've called you. I've sanctified you. I've called you out of this world to do my will. Mordecai says to Esther, how do you know that God hasn't put you in this special spot for this very reason? Well, that's exactly what he's saying here. In this day, God has a plan. Plan for His people, Oh, he's had that plan in every age. But it is his plan to be sanctified by God the Father. I thought we'd look at as well, look at what it says in 2 Timothy. We're looking at these three epistles written for the last days. Special equipment for the last days. Look at the special purpose, 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works. He didn't call us because we were good. He didn't call us because of our righteous deed. We aren't saved by works. We're saved by his grace. Our works, the only thing that our works deserve is hell and judgment. But it says he's called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. God has a purpose. He says, Timothy, you know what? God has a purpose for you. He saved you. And he has a purpose for your life. Now, in one sense, the word he's saying to Timothy, Timothy, I'm in jail. I'm going to die. And Timothy, I'm passing the baton to you. Oh, I realize that you have a little bit of a timid spirit within you. And it's just not natural for you to rise to the occasion and stand up and take the abuse and to be, you know, bold for Christ. He says, but guess what? I'm going to be dead. And you're the next man. You need to rise up to the occasion. You need to rise up to the occasion. You know, someone's got to stand up and be fearless. Someone has to stand up and not be afraid of the afflictions of the gospel. Someone has to pave the way. Timothy, God's called you. He saved you for a purpose. And I think the context is saying, you know what? God has a purpose. The people that he saves in these last days, it's not for the purpose of becoming like the world. It's not for the purpose of being immodest or immoral like the world, loving their music, loving their jokes, loving their lifestyle, loving the same sins of this world. No! He's called us with a holy calling. Young person, you know what? That means you too. It means if you're saved, when God saved you, he saved you for a purpose. He saved you in this day, in this day of compromise. He saved you in this day of decline. He saved you in this day of lack of discernment. He saved you in this day. He saved you to stand up for him and make a difference. He has a purpose. That's the context. He has given us a salvation that uniquely equips us to be different from the world. He has a salvation that equips us to be godly when everybody else is being ungodly. He gives us a salvation that gives us the unique ability to be bold and to speak out when there's gonna be a cost to standing for Jesus Christ. He saved us with a special purpose. What a great thing that is. For such a time as this. For such a time as this. God has a purpose. God has special equipment given to us. He has a special salvation. A salvation that is specially suited for the people of God to do right in these last days. Oh, the world is a world of lusts. The world is a world of mockers. The world is a world that despises authority. We live in a world that speaks evil of things that they know not of, that spiritual things. It's not a time to be like the world. You know what that means? That means forget all the wrong things that you learned. Don't live by your past. Don't live by your wrong. Don't live by your worldly upbringing. Throw it off! God has saved you. Be a special light for Him in these days. You know, as you just think about that simple truth tonight, it throws away all the excuses, doesn't it? Right? It throws away all the excuses that all young people, adults have to just be amalgamated into the world, not be different, go with the flow. Just throws away all excuses and paints a clear picture. Yeah, God save me, be different. God save me to live godly in an ungodly world. God to give me the power to do it. He has a plan. Really a very simple truth tonight. You know, I think it's particularly suited for young people. The Bible says evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Things aren't going to get better. But that doesn't make any difference. God has equipped us to live above the world. Yeah, things are going to get darker. But God has equipped us to be godly in an ungodly world. Oh, there's going to be affliction? You're afraid of a little of affliction? We are, isn't it? We're mamby-pambies, aren't we? How sad. God's not giving us a spirit of fear. He's giving us a spirit of power. He's giving us the spirit of love. That love that will replace selfishness. You know, that's one of the number one reasons that we don't do anything for God, because we're all concerned about us. You know what? We've got to forget about ourselves. We've got to think about Jesus Christ. We've got to think about the millions without Christ. We've got to think about the importance of getting the gospel. That's the spirit of love. Taking our eyes off of ourselves. For such a time as this. You know, the Bible kind of says that in many different ways. Hebrews 10:25, what does it say? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what it's saying? It's saying, as you see the Lord, day of the Lord coming, that's not the time to shut down Sunday evening services. It's not time to shut down prayer meeting. It's not time to shut down men's prayer. It's not time to shut down the ministry. It's the time to have more church. Amen? It's not time to have shorter services. It's time to have longer services. Not that we are tonight. But you understand what I'm saying? Everything against the tide. You know, I think common sense says if things are going that away, then we better make sure we're going that away. Amen? Young person, do you have that spirit? Do you have that spirit? Are you looking around rather than looking at the Lord? Are you afraid of this wicked world and the voices of this wicked world rather than grabbing a hold of God's purpose for your life? And be glad to be exactly the opposite of this wicked world, so you can have a bold testimony for Jesus Christ. That's what this world needs. A whole host of young people unashamed of living for Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Amen. Isn't it amazing? The simple gospel of Jesus Christ can save a soul, change a life. Something that nobody could ever do, but God can do in an instant because of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. Let's pray together as we close. Lord, thank you tonight that we are reminded of your special plan for us in this day. And Lord, we realize that the reality is that a wicked world would love to suck us into its lusts and go after all the vanity of a dying world. But Lord, we are reminded tonight that you have a special plan for the people of God. You have a plan. You've saved us, Lord, to show a lost and dying world that you are the living God, and that the Bible is the truth of the word of that has come from heaven, and that your gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, can save sinners and change their lives. Lord, it's possible that some of your people tonight have lost the sense of their purpose. It's possible, Lord, that some of the young people have lost a sense of the purpose of their salvation. They have forgotten that they were cleansed from their sins. Lord, I pray that even tonight we'd recognize that we have all things given to us through Christ that pertain to life and godliness. And through him, we can live above the world. And through him, we can shine in righteousness for God. And we don't have to be ashamed. That you can transform us into being bright, bold, compassionate witnesses for Christ. And so, Lord, help us even now as your people to calculate how we ought to be living in this day. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here tonight and you say, you know, Pastor, I know it's a simple little message, but say, you know, I can just see that instead of standing out above the crowd, I've been amalgamated into the crowd. I've lost a sense of God's purpose for my life. Instead of allowing God to give me strong convictions for righteousness, I've been following the crowd and being weak and worldly. And the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight, given you a new sense of your purpose in life as a Christian. And you say, Pastor, God spoke in my heart. Maybe you're here tonight as a parent and say, you know, I just been listening to the lie of the devil. Just trying to kind of, you know, not be too noticeable, too godly. Don't want to be too Christian. Don't want to be too different. I sense a loss of purpose for my family in these last days. God is speaking to your heart as a parent. Got a new purpose for your family. New purpose for your own life. The Lord has spoken to you about that tonight and say, Pastor, please pray with me. Definitely. I've lost a sense of my purpose of living for God in these last days. The Lord has spoken to me about that tonight. And I want to rededicate myself to be a light for Jesus Christ in these dark days. There's some changes I need to make in my life. Instead of being weak and namby-pamby, I need to be strong and bold. And God needs to do a great work in my life. You say, hey, Pastor, would you pray for me? God is speaking in my heart. There's an important decision I need to make in this regard. Okay? I see a number of different hands. Okay? Praise the Lord. Okay? Others? Okay? Who else? Young people, how about you? Okay? How about you? Okay? Amen? I know. These decisions, there's a cost. Amen. That's exactly right. Count the cost. All right? Praise the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know what? Pastor, you're talking about salvation, being saved from the penalty of sin, being saved from the power of sin, being saved from hell. You know what? I'm not saved. I don't know what that means. Well, it means that we are sinners and we need to be forgiven of our sin. We need to be forgiven of the penalty of our sin. We need to be delivered from the sin's effects upon our life. We need to be given a new heart and a new life. And you recognize tonight that the reason that you really aren't any different than the world is because you aren't saved. And you need to come to Jesus Christ and as your Savior. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved. I don't have salvation. I need to be saved. Okay? I see a number of little hands here. Praise the Lord. Children listening. How about you? Others would join them. I'm not saved. I'm not on my way to heaven. I don't know that. Pastor, pray for me. Lord, I thank you tonight that you did speak to hearts tonight, and by your grace, the truth of this passage of Scripture has been brought home. And Lord, now I pray that you would work, continue the work in the heart to come to a firm, a decision, yielding to your plan and to your purpose and to what you are trying to do in their life. And Lord, so I commit these folks, Lord, to you. Think of young people, Lord, that need to be standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, work in their hearts. And we pray that you'll bring them to that place of recognizing your purpose and being unashamed of standing for Jesus Christ. The desire to be godly in an ungodly world, getting convictions from your Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, pray for these many little ones and others, Lord, that are here today that have not been born again, that need to be saved. Lord, we know only you can show them that they're sinners and that they deserve the punishment of sin, and only Jesus can deliver them from their sin because his death on the cross, and only he can give them a new heart. And so, Lord, work in hearts, bless even the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name.